Grid is a joint venture between. Sure. Can you hear me? Okay. Is a joint venture between Consensus and Low3 Energy. I think you all know who Consensus is. Low3 Energy is an energy development firm. What we're doing is building microgrids, small versions of utility grids that can operate alongside or separate from the larger utility grid. So there's really good reasons to want to build microgrids. First and foremost, the cost of renewable energy is actually reaching a point where it's competitive with centralized energy. But more importantly, things like this happen. Hurricane Sandy came through New York a couple of years ago, knocked out big chunks of the utility grid. You can see that most of Lower Manhattan was down during that time, except for this segment, which was up and running. So the reason that happened is that this section actually had its own generation and could separate from the utility grid and run on its own power. I think John's going to speak next.
Maybe I'll just grab this. In our efforts to sort of build the Brooklyn microgrid, we started interacting with community members in the Park Slope and Gowanus neighborhoods of Brooklyn. And this is Martha. She's been in the community for 40 years. That's her PV array on her rooftop. And she actually has a surplus. She produces more electricity than she consumes. And so what we wanted to explore as we were building the microgrid was, is there an opportunity to allow Martha to actually transact peer-to-peer, potentially, within the microgrid? And so this was actually the sandbox that we identified within the community where we're building the microgrid on a street called President Street. And it's a really cool street because half of the, on one side of the street, you can see Martha's house and a bunch of her neighbors, and they've got really big, really cool solar arrays. And then in the corner there, you can see what part of Brooklyn that's located in. And then on the other side of the street are their neighbors. So these are potential consumers. And so this is a concept where Martha and her side of the street can become prosumers, and their friends and neighbors on the other side can become consumers within the sandbox. And so I just want to give a bit of context with respect to the renewable energy credit market and how that works in the United States. So essentially, right now, you can buy what's known as a REC. And a REC is essentially an attribute that attests to a megawatt of renewable energy that's generated by some source. And so that could be like a wind farm in Idaho or a solar farm in Texas. And so that facility generates a megawatt, and in doing so, it is issued a renewable energy credit, which it can then sell on. And so what you'll have is utilities purchasing renewable energy credits to satisfy state requirements for green energy. Now the problem is, oftentimes these RECs then get sold on again. And so you're double counting the value of that sort of green energy. That was one of the first initial problems that we identified with this system. The other problem is, it's kind of a meta system. Yes, the facilities that, that wind farm in Idaho is producing green energy, and that does have a net positive effect on the global environment, but that doesn't actually mean anything at the local community level in Brooklyn, where residents of that community may actually be purchasing those RECs from third-party providers.
So what that means is that the electrons that are actually produced off of that wind farm that you're buying your green energy from don't ever actually reach you. So energy produced in the neighborhood within your local microgrid actually has the potential to make it to your house. So there's less loss in transporting that energy. Transporting energy is actually pretty lossy, especially when summer comes along, all the air conditioning turns on, and the lines get hot and start sagging. The thing that's really necessary to do some of this is data. And a lot of this data can be provided by smart meters. So those smart meters and the concept of pulling the macro grid down to the micro brought us to this idea of transactive grid.
And so I'll just talk a little bit about sort of the current iteration of of the prototype. And so the smart meters then effectively become oracles, wherein essentially you can tokenize the consumption profile. And so you can represent essentially proxy electrons with a token. And so in this example, we've got Martha and her neighbor. And so her smart meter, she produces a surplus. Her neighbor can then purchase that surplus. And so this is important to realize because physics tells us that the electrons that Martha produces from her PV array will go to the nearest load. So the nearest load is probably her neighbor's refrigerator. And so the transactive grid is essentially the layer, the business logic on top of which this sort of transaction can happen. And so this kind of a system now gives consumers a choice. They can choose to purchase sort of renewable energy credits from third-party retailers, or they can choose to now purchase effectively renewable energy credits in the form of a token from their neighbor directly.
So the important thing is that we're looking at this as an evolution of utilities. Don't get us wrong, RECs are incredible things, and actually RECs have done a lot to drive down the cost of distributed generation, renewable power around the world. But that's a market that's ready for evolution. It's a market that, distributed generation, the cost of actually installing distributed power is coming down so much that, there is a potential to do it a different way. So this is an evolution of this, works on top of the existing utility structure. We're not trying to displace any utilities at this point.
So in the back end, we're building, Consensus is building the smart contract foundation for this project. And so what we have is, as John mentioned, the smart energy meter can act as an oracle that will actually create these energy tokens it measures that electrons have been produced by the PV array. And so this goes then to Martha, who can then sell these tokens potentially to her neighbor. And so the neighbors would then consume the tokens. So you can have the neighbors. Smart meter will then sense that she's using energy and then can destroy the tokens from there. So right now we have custom token contracts and we're currently working towards replacing them with the standard token contracts that were discussed earlier.
This is kind of self-explanatory. We arrived at Ethereum pretty quickly for all the obvious reasons. And so all of this sort of brings us to this concept of a community energy market sharing economy. And so certainly we've seen the rise of the sharing economy play a prominent role, certainly Uber, Airbnb, et cetera. And we think the community energy market sharing economy has some foundational components. And so that's tokenization, effectively what Christian just described. Peer-to-peer markets, so peer-to-peer transactivity is inherent to distributed consensus systems. And we think the rise of the prosumer will be another foundational element to this economy, wherein folks can purchase PV arrays and they can actually produce. They have generative capacity rather than just being sort of consumers in this one-way relationship with the utility.
It's actually a pretty important concept to understand because not only is there value in the production of energy on the grid, but there's also value in the reduction of energy. So prosumers can not only produce energy that then gets used by themselves or their neighbors, but they can also reduce the energy that's being consumed. So in essence, you can tokenize the value of a megawatt and a negawatt, the absence of that use. So this would come together this is coming together in the Brooklyn microgrid as a community ESCO. This is a B Corp, a public benefits corporation, and it runs as a nonprofit that then transacts the energy or sells the energy back and forth to the community. from the people that are producing energy to the people that are consuming the energy in the future.
Maybe I'll just talk real quick about future milestones. So there's this concept of smart meter proliferation, and recently New York State announced that in the coming year there will be upwards of 5 or 6 million smart meters installed throughout the state. And this is significant because it's a substantial upgrade to sort of the existing infrastructure, and it will give us much richer data sets, so much more functional Oracle, if you will. And this seems to be the case globally. Smart meters will be a reality all over the world in the very near future. And then, so that iPhone display image is how we envision ultimately the user interface, something very easy. We don't envision an interface where consumers or prosumers or users are bombarded with a ton of options, and so something that looks like a trading kind of interface. Instead, we want to make it very simple so that you can just sort of set your system to the things that you care about. So in this case, you know, you've got the dollar sign, so maybe you're more interested in maximizing your financial benefit, or maybe you're more interested in, you know, maximizing environmental benefits or community benefits, etc. And so the system can then adjust accordingly. And we feel this is a critical component going forward, so that you'll have a sort of beneficent, sort of automated Google driving car type system that manages your energy efficiency life, essentially.
So the potential we see in the future, and it's something that we're working on now, is the ability to actually control grid infrastructure across the Ethereum network using blockchain technology. This is a really interesting infographic that shows a lot of the equipment that's connected and, you know, transporting information back and forth across the utility grid. You know, there are obvious benefits to this from a security perspective. There are also benefits that could be had from an equity perspective as communities start to own a bit more of their own assets. So I think Christian's going to speak to this.
Yeah. I guess.
So this could be a potential UI, like a dashboard, where you can see exactly what benefits you're getting, how much you're buying from each neighbor, for instance. So you can see there you have a little leaderboard going on there where neighbor three is in the lead. And so this is kind of what we want to present to the user to abstract away the underlying market. So on the back end, on the contract layer, this would actually be tokens being created and destroyed. The token implements the standard contract interface, so they can be traded on an exchange like EtherX, for instance. And so that's going to be at the back end, and it's going to be visualized as this, you know, nice, easy to consume UI. And also, as Lawrence mentioned, you would be able to set it based on these high level values, like I wanna save money, I want more green energy, I wanna buy from my local community, etc.
Right. So the amount of energy that people are actually consuming, using, could save or could buy across this is probably less interesting, from a dollar perspective. So the intent is to connect, when it gets down to the consumer level, connect us through reputation into social networks so that we can actually provide some of the things that people care about other than, you know, the few dollars a month they might have saved or generated across the system. So this is the core team. We've been working on this thing probably about 7-8 months now. And do we have time for questions? Any questions? Yeah. Okay. Oh, question back here, sorry.
Can you do anything without a smart meter?
Yeah, you can. So we're looking at other ways that that you can collect the information without a smart meter. Smart meters are becoming pretty ubiquitous, but there are also quite a few technologies out there that can approximate that. It's easiest to use the utilities meter because the utility is supplying your energy. They're actually billing you against what happens on that meter. So our network is obviously going to be as good as that. Another question? Yes.
Yeah. What's the name again? Can you repeat it?
I can show you on my laptop.
Yeah, maybe show us after.
Sounds good.
Great.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.